Track 12. Unit 10. Listening. Part 2. Sentence completion.
Now that English is so dominant globally, it's easy to forget that people on the British Isles once spoke languages from a very different family, Celtic. These seem to have originated in a quiet corner of the Alps 2,500 years ago and gradually expanded from this ancient heartland until, at their peak, their area of influence stretched over a vast swathe of Europe, from Spain to modern-day Turkey. Much of this territory fell to the Roman Empire, and most Celtic languages were replaced by Latin and its descendants, plus languages that arrived on the scene later. The only exceptions where Celtic languages survived were in the northern and western parts of the British Isles, never colonised by the Romans: Ireland, Scotland, Wales and Cornwall. After the fall of the Roman Empire in France, many speakers of Cornish, the Celtic language of Cornwall, emigrated to the Brittany Peninsula in northern France, where their language morphed over the centuries into Breton, the only Celtic language still widely spoken in mainland Europe, with between 200,000 and 300,000 speakers. Back in Britain, Celtic languages faced a vicious onslaught in the 5th century from a new set of invaders, the Anglo-Saxons, whose language is now known as Old English. These interlopers from Northern Europe asserted their control over modern-day England and beyond, pushing the Celtic languages to an ever-shrinking periphery on the far north and west. In Ireland, the Gaelic language thrived for much longer. Indeed, by the 10th century, it had spread into the Isle of Man, becoming the Manx language, and Scotland, where Scottish Gaelic replaced an earlier Celtic language, Pictish. However, these three Gaelic languages were threatened by the encroachment of English, especially from the 18th century. Irish Gaelic survived mainly in the sparsely populated western fringes of Ireland, before undergoing a revival in modern times, while English dominated in the larger population centres. Scottish Gaelic survives as a native language mainly in the Highlands and Islands, with about 57,000 fluent speakers. Interestingly, there are speakers of Scottish Gaelic in Nova Scotia in Canada, the result of an 18th century influx of Gaelic speakers. Despite their tiny numbers and the precariousness of their language, this remote outpost of Scottish Gaelic has spawned several prominent literary figures, including Lewis MacKinnon, an award-winning Canadian Gaelic poet. The third Gaelic language, Manx, went extinct on the Isle of Man in 1974, with the death of a man considered the last speaker to have grown up in a Manx-speaking environment. However, in recent years, there have been concerted efforts to bring the language back from the dead, with a number of people claiming some level of proficiency, a great example of what community leaders can achieve when they set their mind to it. Coming back to the non-Gaelic Celtic languages, Welsh also came close to extinction. By 1900, it was already a minority language in Wales, and monolingual speakers of Welsh all but disappeared over the next 100 years. Just like the other endangered Celtic languages, dedicated activists pushed hard to preserve it, with impressive results from the beginning of the 20th century. Welsh is now spoken to some degree by some 900,000 people in Wales, plus a small community of fluent speakers of Patagonian Welsh in Argentina. Finally, my own language, Cornish, was long thought to have died along with its reputed last native speaker, Dolly Pentreath, in 1777, although it now seems a handful of speakers kept the language alive surreptitiously, presumably due to relentless persecution from the English-speaking elite. This remote corner of England, neglected by the rest of the country except as a tourist hotspot, has always had a distinct identity, which is feeding current efforts to revive the language and culture. In 2010, UNESCO officially changed its designation of Cornish from extinct to critically endangered. It is estimated that there are now about 400 advanced speakers, along with thousands more with limited skills in the language, which is currently being taught in some local primary schools. Perhaps one day soon, the first native speaker of Cornish for 2.5 centuries will be born.